Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal, tell a friend, because I'm really that shallow. Today, we are chatting with Thabs Lakota and Tamara Roberts from Made on the Move. Made on the Move serves residential clients and is located in Umsanga, Durban, South Africa. If you want to reach out to Thabs and Tamara, you can get a hold of them at www.made.on.the.move.pyot.biz, and I will make sure I put a link to their website in our their show notes page on our website in case you didn't get all that at one time. Thabs and Tamara, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, everybody.
So I gotta say, I'm super excited. You guys are for sure our first South African guest, so you get a special American welcome this fine day.
Thanks for that, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, really pleasure having you guys on. I got to tell you, I met Thabs and Tamara from doing a strategy session with them, and I had so much fun and just loved their energy. I was like, we got to get these guys on the podcast. I'm sure, Cleaning Nation, you're going to love getting to know them. So why don't we take a couple minutes? Let's start with Tamara. We'll go ladies first. Tell us about who you are, how you got connected with Thabs, what you guys do, anything you want to share. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so basically, Thabs and I, we're partners in our business. We come from the province of Gauteng, which is here in South Africa. We moved here to KZN. We don't know anybody. We just decided, let's start something new. We moved to KZN in Durban, started our business, and together we've just been growing from there. I'm also doing part-time studying as well as Tubbs. And basically, the business is something we just started out of nowhere, but it's something that we're very passionate about.
Fantastic. Thabs, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, basically, it was really weird how this whole idea started, actually, because it was one, we just moved from Joburg to Umhlanga here in Durban, and we realized that, our apartment needs a clean, you know, because it was actually pretty dirty before we just moved everything in. So then we called a few cleaning companies around the area, and we asked for prices and all of that, but we weren't too happy with the fees that they were, like the prices that they were charging us for their services. So then we're like, you know what, it's fine. We'll just go find a maid, like a private maid, and clean up for us. Then we're discussing over dinner later on that why don't we actually start something which is more affordable for everyone around this area, because I highly doubt anyone would pay for that service at that price. And that's how our Made on the Move started.
That's awesome. And how long have you guys been in business? How many employees do you have? Give us a little bit of background.
We have 5 employees, and we've been in business for 2 years now.
And that's exciting. From, I don't know how business is done as well in South Africa as I do here, but 0 to 5 employees in less than 2 years is an exciting start.
Yeah, I mean, within the first month, I mean, cleaning business, it's pretty difficult to really like lose. But within the first month, I mean, we were already starting to see profit. So that we actually got extremely lucky. It was very lucky what happened to us. But yeah, I mean, that was our kickoff.
I got to say, in my experience, luck has a lot, or business success has a lot less to do with luck than it does with really hard work. And the people that work real hard tend to get real lucky, and the people that don't work real hard aren't real lucky.
That's so true.
All right, cool. Well, I'm super excited. I'd love to help you and your business. What can I coach you guys up on today?
Basically, what we'd like help with is we started, when we entered the market, we started off being, coming into the industry as the service provider, the cleaning service providers that offer you a service for the cheapest price. And now we've been in the market for some time, but we really want to figure out a way on how to increase our prices, but not scare away any of our clients.
Perfect. That is such a good customer. That's such a good question. I know that a lot of Cleaning Nation shares that same problem with they're too cheap. It's hard to make margin, and then when you grow, it doesn't get any. It doesn't get any easier. So I would love to share some ideas with you on that. First, go ahead. Did you have anything else to add, or do you want me to start coaching?
That's perfect. That's perfect. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So some of this stuff is on the, if you haven't been to the, I offer a free online training. Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can sign up for a webinar where I go into some of these things in a little more depth when we've got more time, but I'm going to hit you with four or five really good concepts on how to command premium prices right now. The first thing is, and again, in the webinar, I've got a really nice slide where you can see this iceberg, and on top of the iceberg, outside of the iceberg, kind of in the sky, there's just hundreds of bidders, hundreds of people that want to do business. And on the little tiny top of the iceberg, there's just one prospective customer that's out there with all these prospective bidders trying to get a hold of them. And below the iceberg, it's the opposite. There's just one bidder out there, which could be you and should be you, and 100 customers within the iceberg and within the bigger part of the iceberg that's obscured by the water. And the way that works, and I always say to people, where would you like to serve? Where would you like to sell? Do you want to sell at the top where you've got all these other people trying to compete against you and just one or two people looking for bids? Or would you like to sell at the bottom underwater of the iceberg where it's just you and maybe zero to one other people trying to sell these people, and there's dozens, if not hundreds of people that you can sell to? And everybody, time after time, of course, says, well, obviously, I'd rather sell at the bottom, right? I want to be the only person selling with lots of customers as opposed to lots of people bidding against me and very few customers. And then I explain how to do that, how to move from the top of the iceberg to the bottom. The way you do that is, first of all, the top of the iceberg are the people that have raised their hand and say, hey, I'm looking for business right now, which doesn't happen all the time. And there's lots of people that are coming around, and they want you. You'll have 5 or 10 or 12 or just too many bids. And with all that information, they're generally just going to go with the lowest price. So A, it's no fun because you're not going to get the work. B, if you do get the work, it's super low priced. Whereas if you go below the water on the iceberg and you're the only bidder, you're still going to want to charge them fairly, but you can charge fair prices where you can make money and they can enjoy good service. And the way you do that is you start communicating with these people far before the time that they raise their hand and go above the water and ask for a bid. So the people below the water are people that are going to need your services sometime in the next 12 months. So some of them are going to need them tomorrow, sometimes in a month, sometimes in 6 months, sometimes in 12 months, but they're all going to need your services within the next 12 months. The trick is to start communicating you and what you do and educating on the value of your services and how it can impact their lives in a positive way today. So a month from now, when they start looking for that service, you've already got a relationship. You've already talked. They trust you. They know you. They like you. And instead of calling 20 other bidders or getting above surface, they're just going to call you because you've been sending newsletters and meeting with them and educating them. And maybe you've done a webinar or a lunch and learn. There's all sorts of ways you can educate these prospects. So when the time comes for them to get a bid, A, you may be the only bidder. They might just call you and say, wow, you educated me on exactly how I'm supposed to select a cleaner that's going to service my business, and you're the only one that gets that, so I'm just going to give you the work. Or B, they'll come to you as a consultant and say, hey, Tabs, can you tell me, I've got these two other bids. What do you think? What should I pick? How should I go? And that's a much, much better conversation to have than, hey, sharpen your pencil, I'm going with the lowest bidder. I know I went really fast through a big concept. Did that make sense, guys, before I move on to the next one?
Perfect sense.
All right, perfect. So that's the first one, and that's a great one. The second thing I always want to mention, I think Tabs and Tamara know this, is if you're not the cheapest, you might as well be the most expensive. You get 0 points for being the second cheapest, because the guy that's going to go for the cheapest is going to go for the cheapest. The guy that's going to go for value is going to go get what he wants, and what he wants or she wants is more important than the price that it costs. So for me, I always coach all of my customers, don't try and be the cheapest, because some guy's always going to be cheaper than you, and he's going to underpay his people or not be legal or not have insurance or do some business practices that you're not going to want to do, and you're never going to be able to be the cheapest because you're not willing to be illegal or to pay people wrong or do stuff under the table or any of that weird stuff. So if you can't be the cheapest, you might as well be the most expensive and leave yourself enough margin to market to your customers, to conversate and educate your customers and teach them on the value of the services you earn as opposed to lower your price. So you want to raise their perspective, your prospects, perception of your value. You want to spend time and money and effort raising that perception of value as opposed to lowering the price that you charge. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Another way that you can do it is a unique selling proposition. And an example I use all the time, which people love, is if I was doing residential and my unique selling proposition is I sent out good-looking women in cute little outfits to clean your, you know, nothing shady, of course, but I just, that's what I said. I hired only attractive ladies and I sent them out in cute little outfits. And that was what I did. If you're looking for the cheapest, you know I'm not going to be the cheapest. But if you want cute girls in cute outfits cleaning your house, you really, who's going to compete with me? No one can compete with me because I'm the only guy that offers that service. And the people that want that service, they're not really particularly interested in things like price. They're interested in, well, how cute are these girls and what do these outfits look like? So I'm not saying that necessarily has to be your USP, and I certainly wouldn't even use it for mine. But it's a great example. If you find the specific customer, the specific prospect, and you find their specific pain and you solve that pain, price really becomes a non-issue. So unique selling proposition could be price. Hey, we're the cheapest out there. It's just tough because then you can't make any money. You can't produce good service. You don't have any money to put into client acquisition. So it's not a tenable, it's a good strategy for the customer. It's not a good strategy for you. But if your unique selling proposition is we only sell to mortuaries and we specialize in how to make mortuaries more money or make their lives easier with their facilities maintenance, it's going to be hard for someone that says, oh, I do anybody. I do residential, I do commercial, I do carpet cleaning, I do duct cleaning, I do everything. He's going to have a hard time competing with me. I said, hey, I've done studies on mortuaries and what's important to them. And I know your business in, I know it out. That mortuary person is going to look at me as a partner, and the investment that he gives in my company is an investment in building his company as opposed to just the cheapest thing out there. So a niche and a unique selling proposition are other ways that you can really get the conversation focus off of price and onto value, which is really what you want to talk about. The last thing is testimonials and referrals and references. That's probably one of the better ones. If I am looking for someone to come into my home, again, do I want to pay the most? No, not particularly. But I'm more concerned about things like, well, are these people licensed and bonded? I've got my wife and kids in here. I'm letting these people into my house when I'm potentially not there or my kids are there. You know, who are they and do I trust them? And certainly things like insurance and time in business and all that can help. But a reference is going to go a long way. If I've got a good friend that says, oh my gosh, Tabs and Tamara have been cleaning my place for years and they're the nicest human beings in the world. I trust them with everything. They're amazing. You've got to sign up. It's going to be very, very hard for someone to compete, even at a cheaper price, because I know and trust Tabs and Tamara to be in my home or their employees to be in my home or my place of business even more, you know, risky depending on the kind of business you run. So testimonials and kind of recommendations and referrals are an excellent way to get the price, the conversation off of price. Last but certainly not least is relationships. I preach this all the time. If you don't have a relationship, they're going to go to the number on the bottom of the page. If you have a relationship outside of work and they know, and that's even better than a referral, right? If I know Tabs and Tamara and we've known each other for a year and they drop by and they bake me cookies and they're sending me newsletters and they're educating me and they're inviting me out to lunch and learns and we've spent a couple hours together, not talking about cleaning or anything like that, but we have a personal relationship. When I go to get a cleaner, am I going to say, hey, I want to get bids from 20 different strangers and I guess Tamara and Tabs can jump in? Or am I just going to go to them and say, hey, I've known you for a long time. We're friends. I know you're going to take good care of me. Would you just give me a fair price and do a good job? And that's the kind of conversations that you want that can get away from pricing. So I know that you guys asked, how can you raise prices on the customers that you already have? And we're going to talk about that, but I wanted to kind of set the easier way to go is the price stuff properly to start with. So did that give you enough ammunition and some ideas of how to raise prices from the beginning before we talk about how to raise prices on people that you've already got?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, I mean, taking it from the start, I mean, now, in terms of pulling in our new clients, we definitely know which route we're going to take, and it clearly makes a lot of sense.
Okay, cool. And the good news is how to raise prices on your current clients is actually pretty easy. Let me give you one more foundational concept. The other thing that people forget is the the foundation of all of this is you've got to have a system. You've got to create a client attraction system that's scalable, repeatable, and dependable, where you know every month I put out whatever your marketing budget is, and I'm going to get 37 people raise their hand and say, I'm interested, I'm a lead. And of those 37, 18 are going to be bids where I actually go out and give them a quote. And of those 18, two or three are going to be new customers. When you've got that repeatable, scalable, dependable influx of leads every month, it's a lot easier to raise prices, because if somebody doesn't like it or they quit or whatever, it's fine because there's three more right behind them. So it's not a big deal. The big problem people have with raising prices is when they don't have a system to attract clients and build their customer base, it's really hard to raise prices because you're terrified that person's going to leave you or that company's going to leave you, and it's going to have a big financial impact. So the real answer is build a client acquisition system that's so strong and dependable that you don't care if you raise prices, if they stay. Or I mean, you care because they're customers and you love them, but financially, it doesn't really affect you if they leave. So that's the best way to inoculate yourself from cheap prices, is to have enough good leads coming in where you don't have to give everything away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Tamara, are you still out there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Just want to make sure you hadn't lost interest and wandered off to get a sandwich.
taking notes.
I love that. That's such a good habit. I'm the same way. I'm always taking notes. Okay, so let's talk about, with that foundation of first and foremost, let's get enough new leads coming in so we don't worry so much about how to raise prices. Let's talk about how to raise prices. First of all, I don't like small, frequent price raises. That's a mistake a lot of people do. They'll go in and try and raise prices by 3 or 5%. And then what'll happen is they'll realize 3 or 6 months later, well, shoot, that wasn't really enough to cover what I needed, and I got to raise them again. People don't like having prices raised, but they're not logical about it. If you're going to raise prices 2%, they generally don't like it the same as if you raise it 10%. So I would rather see, as a foundation, conceptually, bigger price raises less frequently. I would do it every year, and I'd sell it from the beginning. Just so you know, we redo our prices every year, and as the cost of living goes up, as we add services, as payroll goes up, and just the cost of things gets up, once a year, we don't raise prices every year, but we only raise them once a year. So I would encourage you, unless it's absolutely flat, you just did a huge problem bidding and you're losing money, when possible, just raise prices once a year, and raise them big enough so it's worth the raise, right? So if you're only going to raise it 2 or 3%, I'd wait till next year and raise it 6%, or raise it 6% or 10% this year. Just do less frequent, larger raises in pay. The second thing is you've got to raise the pay enough, so, or raise your rate enough, so if a couple people quit, it doesn't hurt you. So the beautiful thing about charging more, and this is why getting margin is so important, is let's just say, to be easy, and hopefully you guys are making more than this, but let's just say your margin is 10%. Meaning if you have $10,000 a month in revenue, you're making $1,000 a month. Well, here's the beautiful thing. Say you raise prices on everybody by 10%. So your $10,000 in contracts is now $11,000, right? Because you've raised prices on everybody across the board 10%. Well, here's the beautiful thing. You've only raised your prices by 10%, but guess what? Your profit just doubled. It went from $1,000 a month to $2,000 a month, because if you take on a new client, there's expenses associated. You've got to pay payroll tax. You've got to hire people and supplies and chemicals and all the sort of expenses that come along with a client. But when you raise prices, 100% of that price increase goes to your bottom line. So again, let's just do the math real quick. And this is hard if you're not writing it down on a podcast, but we're going to do it. If you're at $10,000 a month and you're making $1,000 a month in profit, and you raise your prices 10%, you're going to go to $11,000 in gross sales, but your profit's going to double to $2,000. So might you lose 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 or 15% of your clients, maybe 20% of your clients because of the price raise? Maybe, probably not, but maybe. The good news is you'd have to lose half of your clients to get the profit back down again, right? Because you doubled your profit. Even if half leave, what's going to happen is now you're making the same profit you were before, but you've got half the work to do. So either way, it's a win unless more than half of your clients leave, which I've honestly just never heard of saying. Does the math make sense to you guys?
Wow, yeah, it does.
So the key is to make the distinction between profit and revenue. And a lot of people are like, oh, I lost this big account that was $3,000 a month. And if they're a client and I'm working down the numbers with them, I'll find out, you know what? You weren't really making any money. That you were actually costing you a couple hundred dollars a month to do that account. So you got to understand the difference between profit and income. And if it's not making enough profit, raise the prices. And if they leave, it's fine because they weren't making you any money in the first place. So a lot of it's just don't be afraid. All right. So that's my rant on prices, how to raise them, how to start right. Any questions before we move on to the lightning round?
No, I'm good. I'm very satisfied with the information you gave me.
How you feeling, Tamara? Are you in there?
Yes, I'm in there.
All right. So we've got three lightning round questions. I'm going to ask them both, and you guys can decide amongst yourself who's going to answer. So question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Okay.
Right now, I'd say it's really just not to be afraid to approach your clients, because in the beginning, we were very afraid. We were very intimidated, especially being in a place where you don't know anyone. So not to be afraid to approach those clients. Go and do what you have to do. So, yeah, for me, that would be the best advice that we've gotten so far.
All right. Love it. Thanks for sharing. And maybe Dabs will hit this next one. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business? So maybe you can save some of us from making the same mistake.
Basically, I think the biggest mistake would be the fear of losing someone. So no, losing a potential client or a existing client. So like taking nonsense in terms of like if you know that this is not the service that you're offering, or they just try to cut corners or try to rip you off, you just letting it happen and not actually, like, because you're afraid of losing your client, you just allow it to happen and walk away from the incident as if nothing happened, but knowing that they even know what has just happened was not meant to happen.
Yeah. Whether you're in the United States or South Africa or anywhere in between, business is not for the weak or faint of heart. So I couldn't agree more. You can't run your business from a fear-based position. You've got to decide, this is how I'm going to do business. If you want to be a part of this party, these are the rules, and some will and some won't, and so what? Great advice or great experience sharing, Dabs. I appreciate that. Okay, you guys get to decide who's going to answer the last one. What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today to most drastically improve their lives or their business?
Okay.
There's two of you. I think I stumped you both.
Yeah. Maybe just repeat the question. It was quite long. So just repeat the question.
Sure. I'll even say it slow because for all of our English as a second language folks, the number one most actionable item that owners of cleaning companies can do today to drastically improve their lives or their business?
For me, I would say is any business really, but especially with the cleaning business, is to really go all in with your marketing. And if your marketing is something that you can't do at the moment, however you start your business, keep saving towards that. Make that your goal for your business, is to really invest in marketing. From there, I don't think you can go wrong.
Well said, Tamara. Tabs, do you have anything to add, or are you going to let her have the last word?
Yeah, I think I'll leave it. She left it on a good note. Let me not ruin it.
You're a good partner, Tabs. That was wise. All right. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Tab and Tamara's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.